Hey, it's Brian Curtis from The Ringer, and I want to tell you about the Press Box podcast. The Press Box is a podcast for anybody who likes news, whether it's about sports or politics or pop culture, and wants to understand how that news really gets made. We have new shows every Monday and Thursday. We have long interviews with everyone from John Krakauer to Joe Buck. Your social media feeds are bursting with information every day. Let us help you sort it out. Join us on the Press Box.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
On today's episode of One Shining Podcast, we've got ESPN's very own Kevin Connors live from the Big 12 tournament. He's going to hop on the show, talk about the Big 12 tournament and what he's seen, boots on the ground. We'll also talk about New Mexico, a lock, the biggest and hottest conversation, how many Patinos will be in March Madness, and a few Cinderella candidates, including Aidan Mahaney. Like I said, it's Aidan Mahaney March. We love to see it. We also will do some big picture stuff about what's happening. We'll talk about some of the firings, some of the hirings, some of the interesting interactions between, you know, coach and player, coach and coach, and all the in-between that's happening in college basketball. Kyle, anything else before we get into today's episode?
It's a big day. I slept in my Johnny's quarter zip. I'm a little bit nauseous. I wish we could just get this over with, but I'm very excited. But first,
Woody Durham.
He takes the timeout. Technical foul. Technical foul.
Welcome back to One Shining Podcast. I'm your host, Tate Frazier. It is Friday, March 15th, and joining us, friend of the program, you've heard him before on this show. He is ESPN's very own Kevin Connors. KC, good to see you, man.
Tate, it's great to be with you. I'm honored to be on, although it's easier to tap into Quantico than to download all of the apps and to get hooked up with this, but I'm glad we went back to the trusted old Zoom.
Zoom is what we always need to make these conversations possible. Shout out to the Spotify overlords for trying to get us on Riverside. We're doing our best here, and you're working hard because it is conference tournament week. As we know, college basketball is heating up unlike any time of the year, and you're at the Big 12 tournament, which is considered by most the premier conference in college basketball. Boots on the ground, like, what's the feeling there? Is everyone kind of patting themselves on the back saying the Big 12 is the best of the best? And how do we feel about, you know, the tournament so far?
The answer is yes. We had Brett Yormark, the commissioner of the Big 12, on yesterday, and he made it a point to say that. When you're right, you're right. The league has been unbelievable all year. There's been a little bit of air sucked out of the conversation here with Kansas not playing Hunter Dickinson and Kevin McCullough, and of course mm-hmm. they were eliminated in unceremonious fashion the other night. But I tell you what, Tate, you know, the feeling is, if Kansas isn't here, the tournament, from an attendance standpoint and from a national perspective standpoint, is not what it could be. I'll tell you what, K-State, Iowa State, that building was buzzing last night. Those two fan bases brought it. I walked home from the arena last night saying, we did not watch a good day of offensive basketball. And I wonder, is it because these teams are not great offensively? I'm going to choose to say it's because the defense among all of these teams is so, so good. And obviously that conversation begins with Houston and Iowa State.
Yeah, Houston, 16-0 start to this game against TCU. TCU scores 15 points in the first half. You talked about that defense. It does feel like the conversation is now turning to the fact, I mean, they were the last undefeated team in college basketball. They bump up to the Big 12. They win the Big 12. They talked about a dog park this year. It looks like they're the German Shepherd. You know, this program that Kelvin Sampson has, does it feel like there is a changing of the guard a little bit in the Big 12 where it's like Houston is going to be one of those teams? You talked about the national conversation because now we see more and more people are saying, well, why isn't Houston the number one overall seed? And I did not think that was going to be a conversation that we would have at this point.
Tate, if they win this tournament, they should be the number one overall seed. They won right. The regular season. If they win the postseason conference tournament, what else are you asking of them? Houston became a dominant national program within the last 2-3 years. But if you take a step back for a minute and you consider the fact that this program joined the best conference in college basketball and they were the best team all season long with the coach of the year, the defensive player of the year, slash overall player of the year, it's incredible. And I came into this tournament thinking, you know, I know TCU hasn't put it together yet, but they're a veteran team. They can score. They lead the country in fast break points. You don't want to see them. And we got 9 minutes into the game yesterday, and I thought, is TCU going to score in this first half? I mean,
right.
They were completely suffocated by Houston. Every shot is contested. I'm talking about penetration, feed the big man because the help defense comes, easy dunk on the way, and someone comes flying out of nowhere to contest it. It's breathtaking to watch. They are not an amazing basketball team to watch offensively, but defensively, they make you do things you do not want to do. And it's incredible to watch what they've done. So I got off topic, but I think what I meant to say was if Houston wins this conference tournament, they should be the number one overall seed.
Yeah, and I think it's we're at the point now where Houston is getting that respect. I mean, we kind of have the 3-1 seeds locked, and it's that fourth one seed between, you know, Tennessee and North Carolina. Maybe Arizona is thrown into that conversation. But Houston, they have turned the heads. Everybody, you know, is giving them the tip of the cap. And it started with that Final Four run with Quentin Grimes, right? Since then, it has kind of been a foregone conclusion they're going to be in the conversation. There was the subtle disrespect when they were playing like Our Lady of the Lake, you know what I mean, when they had some of these games going on a couple years ago. But now that we see and do it in the Big 12, everybody's, you know, on board. Texas Tech was the other team that sent a message out there with the Big 12. BYU was our offensive hope. They were the dream that was going to come in and make a lot of threes. Ali Khalifa was going to get people involved, but they got absolutely punked in this game by Texas Tech. And Grant McCaslin, great year last year at North Texas, goes to Texas Tech, and it looks like the Red Raiders are a team that nobody wants to see once we get into the real tournament at this point, right?
Boy, and with Darian Williams playing the way that he played yesterday, you made a great point. You know, you watched Ali Khalifa all year, and what a unique player he is. A big who does not look like a prototypical college basketball player in the 23-24 season here. And he's so creative at the top of the key, triggering that offense here. And they completely shut him down. BYU made that comeback. They cut the lead from 23-7. And you sort of felt, okay, but it just seemed to be too little too late. And as great as Texas Tech can be defensively, they hit two big, big threes when that lead was cut to 7. Pop Isaacs obviously had an enormous game. You know, I love Grant McCaslin. You're right. What he did at North Texas was fantastic. The Scott Drew tree just continues to bear fruit. And it's going to make for a really interesting game tonight. Again, if you're looking for a 90-85 game, you probably ought to turn somewhere else. But if you are looking for a physical, earn everything you get, that Houston-Texas Tech game is going to be a ton of fun.
Yeah, that is going to be a matchup to see. And it's great for the Big 12 that we have all these conversations. It's also great, like you said, Scott Drew. We used to talk about coaching trees all the time with the great coaches, and I feel like that conversation has gone away a little bit. But Scott Drew's got Jerome Tang, got Grant McCaslin. He's looking great. That was always the knock that people would try to put at Calipari. Obviously, the Kenny Payne situation is a totally, you know, different conversation. We don't have to get into that. I want to press forward and talk about some of the Patino conversation for both Patinos. Yes. Yesterday, St. John's wins, New Mexico wins, and then after they both win, we get the conversation. These guys are locks for the NCAA tournament. If I set the line at 1.5 Patinos for the NCAA tournament, would you take the over or the under? Do we think we get both Patinos in March?
I think that the answer for St. John's is certainly yes. I think New Mexico should be in. I think that they're one of the best teams. You know, at this point, we start getting into the Joe Lenardi conversation about resumes. But look, New Mexico is a team to me that, you know, everyone's kind of aware of the lineage that they have there between Richard Pitino and Eddie House's son, Jalen House, and Jamal Mashburn's son, Jamal Mashburn Jr. They've got Obi Toppin's brother, JT Toppin. This is a team that beats San Diego State by 18 points this year. And the Mountain West is as good as everybody says. Now, I also think that the Mountain West, you know, they had the tremendous run with San Diego State. They need to do some validating in this year's NCAA tournament beyond San Diego State. But New Mexico is one of the three best teams in that league. They proved it during the season. The metrics show that they are. Is it good enough to get into the NCAA tournament? I would probably have to defer to Lenardi about that, but they're one of the best 68 teams in the country.
Yeah, I feel bad for Joe Lenardi at this point because everyone has a, you know, you could argue every which way why one team should get in over a certain team. You can always find the data points that make your argument correct. And that's why people, you know, are shaking their fists in the sky. And Joe Lenardi, God bless him. He just becomes the face of this and he gets absolutely brutalized by these fan bases. But he seems to take it in stride. He seems to have a little bit of fun poking fun at some of these teams. The ACC tournament, you're a Syracuse guy. I was hoping that Red Autry can make a run in the ACC tournament. First year on the job, gets 20 wins, had a big win against North Carolina in the Carrier Dome. Just your thoughts on Red's first year and kind of where Syracuse sits right now in the ACC.
Well, look, Tate, I mean, that NC State win is now a quad one win, right? So all of a sudden,
the argument's back.
Lenardi, is Syracuse in now? You know, listen, anyone who is pressing the panic button, anyone who has made an opinion on Red Autry, the guy who replaces someone who had been at the school for 48 years, anyone who's rushing to judgment when the first season isn't even complete, you know, go get a hobby. I think what he's done in year one, they won 20 games. You pointed to the North Carolina win. They swept Pitt, who people think could be a tournament team. I'm not hanging my hat on an LSU win because LSU is not a great program, but they blew LSU out early in the year. I think it's going to take time. They've got a really good recruiting class coming in next season. They got a kid, Donnie Freeman, who, if you're into the high school scene, is one of the top players in this class. They got a kid, Elijah, can't think of his last name. He scored 67 the other night. So what competition is he doing that against? I can't tell you. I can tell you that they need a couple of Donnie Freemans to come in there. But in year one, listen, this has got to be something that takes a couple of years to fully evaluate the job Red Autry's done. But in year one, I've got to say, for the most part, despite not being a tournament team, I'm mostly happy with the results.
Yeah, Elijah Moore, 67 points. I will say Syracuse kind of got a raw deal because they went to Maui. It feels like, you know, the casual college basketball fan, I don't want to speak for the casual college basketball fan, but it does feel like Thanksgiving, they're locked in. They want to see kind of where, you know, teams stand. So they watch the Maui Invitational. Syracuse is a young team figuring it out. They play a gauntlet of top teams there. And then I feel like that just becomes the way that people perceive Syracuse, even though they got better as the season went on. They got some great wins. They were playing some great basketball. Obviously, at the end of the year, didn't play, you know, out as you would hope. But NC State, by the way, they proved that that was actually not that terrible of a loss because NC State beats Duke and now they're in the semifinals of the ACC tournament. So I'm right there with you. I feel like Red, it was a success for year one. Obviously, you want to get in the tournament, but they got to figure out the ACC tournament at some level. It does feel like every single year it just goes the wrong way for Syracuse.
You know, just quickly, so they lose to Tennessee and Gonzaga early in Honolulu, like you talked about. And you're right. Look, you know, if everyone's not a top five team on November 1st, we all kind of panic. Like, I'm a, not to get off onto this tangent, but I like it. If we're going to get into the net conversation here, which I dug in on Syracuse, and the fact of the matter is, the reason that they're not a tournament team at this point obviously comes down to wins and losses and quality wins. But when the conversation was being had that they were sort of on the periphery there, the reason that they were not in the conversation was because they were blown out of too many games. It's not that they lost too many games. They were non-competitive in too many games. But I think we need to get back to having more weight on some of these games at the end of the season, particularly in the era of the transfer portal, where coaches are getting a look at guys as a complete unit, oftentimes for maybe not the first time, but early on in late October, early November. Why shouldn't games count a little bit more when you have sort of figured out who you are? I'm not saying completely discredit games in November, but I think when we get to February, there should be a little bit more weight on those games. And to your point, Syracuse did progress throughout the year. Now, you can't get blown out of all the games that they did get blown out of. You can't lose to Boston College and Georgia Tech and think you should be in the tournament. So I am not advocating that Syracuse should be a tournament team. I'm just saying J.J. Starling, Quadir Copeland were different players at this point of the season than they were back in November.
And I will say it's an inexact science, and Joe Lenardi and all the bracketologists will tell you this. I mean, at the end of the day, they're using facts and figures to give their opinion. And they're giving an opinion based on what they expect the committee to do. It's not like an exact science where this is who is in, this is who is out, even though that's how it's presented. And I think that's where the conversation comes into. And I do think that the committee, at least in my mind, I feel like the committee does a good job. The actual committee, not the projections, the actual committee does a good job of who's played well in the last 10 games, you know, who wins on the road, who's gotten better as the season's gotten on. And I think that's why, you know, some people are clamoring for like an Ohio State to be acknowledged by the committee, and maybe they will because the committee says this is a different team than the team that we saw in December, January. So I think it's a very fair point. I think sometimes we get into this, you know, it's an exact science. This is what it says. This is what it is. You're not a part of the conversation. And I just don't think that's how the committee works. And I think that's why sometimes we get misseeded. Like last year, it was a misseeded tournament, in my personal opinion. The West Regional was like the Final Four. You have Gonzaga, UCLA, Arkansas, and Connecticut. Those are four teams that were good enough to be in the Final Four, yet they're playing, you know, in the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight against each other because I think it was misseeded. And I'm not, you know, it's not all to blame the net, but I just think that there is some issues with some of the conversations. But as you said, we could get on that tangent for a long time. I wanted to talk about Cinderella candidates because you are Mr. Mid-Major. You know what's going on. And I have some mid-major or I guess Cinderella candidates from the mid-majors I wanted to shoot at you and see what you think. I have been clamoring for a Mahaney March. Aiden Mahaney takes St. Mary's and they win the WCC tournament. They win the regular season. They had a rough start to the year, you know, talking about teams that got better as the year goes on. But what are your thoughts on Aiden Mahaney? Do we think he can be a Cinderella candidate this season?
God, there's no question about it. I mean, you win the regular season and the postseason tournament, and you take two of three from Gonzaga, who is not necessarily Gonzaga this year, but they're still Gonzaga. And look, I mean, Randy Bennett, how many big-time jobs do you think Randy Bennett could have? I mean, what an unbelievable coach. And you're right, Aiden Mahaney is the star of this team, and yet it's Augustus Marcellonis who wins WCC Player of the Year. I love St. Mary's, and that league is, you know, on par with the A-10, maybe a smidge below the Mountain West, but an unbelievable league. Mitchell Saxon is a big time player for that team. You know, I mean, St. Mary's metrics wise is a top 20 team, and they've beaten, you know, they won at Colorado State, they beat New Mexico. I love that St. Mary's team. It, you know, they're sort of known among the mid-majors on a national scale, but I can tell you right now, no big boy is going to want to play them because of what they did to Gonzaga and because of what the overall resume is.
Yeah, and they got one of the best coaches in all college basketball. So, I mean, I think that's what people forget when they talk about this team when it comes down to March. Another team that you and I are a fan of, GCU, Grand Canyon. Tyon Grant Foster is a guy who I think could be a Cinderella candidate. And then you got the Drew family, you know, Homer Drew's kid out there, Bryce Drew. You got Jerry Colangelo, who is like a big, you know, kind of powerful figure behind the scenes there at Grand Canyon. Do we like this team and think they can make some noise?
You're right. Tyon Grant Foster, multi-transfer player, but started at Kansas to give you an idea of what was thought of him coming out of high school. He averages 20 points a game. You know, you could make a case, hey, the WAC is not a great conference, and I won't argue that, but they did win the regular season. They're prohibitive favorites to win the postseason tournament here. And they also beat San Diego State on a neutral court. So, you know, the resume is not there in terms of huge wins. That's another conversation we can get into. I think that some of these schools have a really difficult time getting some of the big boy games. What does a Kansas get out of playing Grand Canyon? If you win, you're supposed to. If you lose, how did you lose to Grand Canyon? But you know, they have. I think they had one loss in WAC play all season long. They're a veteran team. They got a kid, Gabe McLaughlin, who's a fifth-year player. I don't know that they're a team that will win a game in the tournament, but you're right. When you've got a player like Tyon Grant Foster who can take over a game, you certainly have to pay attention to what the matchup is going to be. And you're right. Bryce Drew, listen, depending on how the dominoes fall, maybe with his own brother, Bryce Drew is going to be a red hot candidate unless he says, I've got kind of a potential mini Gonzaga here at Grand Canyon, and maybe I don't need to leave the state of Arizona and go chase something else again. I've got it good enough here, and I can build this into something that maybe sort of is like what Gonzaga has in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, I think that's a great call. And they have that Jerry Colangelo Invitational, which is an event that gets great teams to come play them. So that is one way to get opportunities for that. You mentioned, you know, teams that have had one loss in their conference. We have to talk about Will Wade and McNeese. Shahade Wells, I think he's a guy who could be a Cinderella candidate. What do you like about this? The Bayou Bandits is what they're calling them.
Right, exactly. Affectionately known. Yeah, Shahade Wells, a TCU transfer, is a big-time player. They won the Southland regular season and the postseason tournament there. Look, you know what? Say what you will about Will Wade. By the way, I love that. Whenever someone says, say what you will about so-and-so, you know what you're referring to there. But the guy can coach, and mm-hmm. he can get players. They are a shot-making team. They're top 20 in Division I in made field goals. This is an obvious statement to make. But I like teams that can make shots. Christian Shoemate is a player for them. You know, they're another one of these teams who went out and got guys from, and Wells is the perfect example. They got from a high major program who it wasn't working out there. They said, come here, you'll be the guy here. He became the guy there, and they're a fascinating team. It's tough to evaluate them, again, based on the fact that they didn't play a single quad one opponent all year, but there'll be another one of those teams that will be a hot team to talk about because of Will Wade and Wells and because of the regular season that they had.
It does feel like, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, I'm going to prognosticate about what the bracket's going to do, but it does feel like McNeese State will be a 13 seed and Clemson will be like a 4 seed. And that's, you know, the way that they'll set it up. You know, that'll be very tough. A couple more guys I want to throw at you. You talked about teams that can shoot. Colgate, Braden Smith, not that Braden Smith from Purdue, the other Braden Smith. This Colgate team, 5 straight, and they're going to be in the tournament again. A team that loves to shoot threes, a team that can score a lot of points. They're going to be a fun team. What do we think about Braden Smith as a Cinderella candidate?
Yeah, I haven't seen a ton of Colgate this year. Obviously, you know, fantastic recent success.
They got the a program. League,
and exactly. The league that to me is going to be an unbelievable couple of days to watch is the Ivy League mm-hmm. with Princeton and Yale and Cornell. I can make a case that any one of those three teams can win a game in the NCAA tournament. Now, it's a one-bid league. There's no question about it. And obviously, we know what Princeton did last year and they win the regular season title this year. Yale has, he didn't
Danny
win
Wolf.
Player of the year. Danny yeah. Wolf, the 7-footer. You know, Princeton has Xavier Lee, who was fantastic, and the player of the year, Caden Pierce, who was the newcomer of the year last year. And then Brian Earle, the job that he's done at Cornell, and the fact that they shoot nearly 50% from the field. I've dodged your Colgate question because I didn't get to see a lot of them this year.
No, that's great. And honestly, the Ivy League is a great talking point because, I mean, there's some people that could argue, I mean, if you wanted to, like I said, this inexact science of bracketology, but Princeton could maybe be an at-large consideration if the right conversation is had about this team just because of the talent and the coaching. I mean, Mitch Henderson's going to be a hot commodity, maybe like Stanford goes after him. I mean, who knows?
That's a great point and a great fit. Or do these guys like, you know, James Jones? Do you think James Jones couldn't have gotten another job?
True.
But you think Tommy Amaker couldn't have gotten another job? You're right.
Could have gotten the Duke job. I mean, you know what I mean? If things fall a different way.
But these guys, I think they know that the situations that they're in at Ivy League institutions, and the Ivies make it worth their time, by the way. They've got people who help invest their money. You know, you get hedge fund managers who are trillionaires and they take care of these coaches. Maybe they can't pay them as much as the big boys, but they certainly help them get there. That league has been so much fun to watch this year. And I urge anybody who's interested in you know, if you're watching at this point, you're interested in mid-majors. So I would strongly urge you to watch the Ivy League over the next couple of days because those three games are going to be a lot of fun.
Is there anybody out there that's on a mid-major team that you say to yourself, I just think he could be someone that becomes a star come March? I mean, Achiuwa at Samford is one of those guys that people have thrown out. Robert yep. Ford at Montana State. But is there anybody that's on your mid-major watch list that you're saying, watch out for these guys? I even consider like a Wazoo in that conversation, even though they're in the Pac-12. I think someone like Miles Rice could be considered as well.
You know, I think Xavier Lee is a guy who could be a player who goes off in a big game. You know, Tucker DeVries and what he's done at Drake, the Missouri Great Valley one. Conference champions. You want to talk about a good mid-major league. I mean, the MVC, what a year they had in the MVC. You know, a Tin Wright is a very nice complimentary player. But Tucker DeVries, whose dad coaches the team, Darren DeVries, has been battle-tested over the year. He's a guy that averages nearly 22 points a game. You know, Drake beat Indiana State, I think twice. I wish Indiana State would get across that finish line for multiple various reasons. The incredible nickname of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Right.
And the year that Indiana State had Josh Schertz, by the way, is going to head to a major job. I guess I would say Tucker DeVries is a guy who could have a Harold Arsenault type of moment here, in March.
I think that's a great call. And we love when we have the father-son combinations. You know, we saw with the Hunters years ago. You know what I mean? There's always like, you know, and obviously the Drew family, you know, you can go down the list of all these guys where we have the father-son combination come March. And Darian DeVries, Tucker DeVries. Tucker DeVries could easily be in the NBA, but he decided to come back, play for his dad, and makes things happen. And as you said, if Robbie Avila can make it to March, we all hope that could happen. But if it comes at the cost of one of the Patinos, I'm going to have to side with the Patinos. I need both of them. I need that father-son combination in the tournament as well. Kevin, thanks so much for coming on the show. Where you're going to be at the Big 12 tournament, right, for the rest of the weekend?
Tonight, yeah, we got the semis tonight, which should be two phenomenal games. We got Baylor, Iowa State in the nightcap, and Houston right. and Texas Tech, and then for the championship tomorrow, and then I fly back to Bristol, and I got snookered into doing the 9 p.m. show on Bracketology on Sunday night, so let's go, baby.
Yeah, I love it. He is Kevin Connors. He will be there on ESPN doing all the bracketology work for us and making things make sense for March Madness. So I appreciate you coming on the show, man, and I hope you enjoy March and your St. Patrick's Day. So that'll be great.
Yes, you too, Tate. Anytime, man. Thanks for having me.
Say goodbye to busted brackets because FanDuel lets you bet on every game of the tournament. Whether you're betting on a big upset or a one seed, it's time to go dancing on America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. And if you're looking at some of the futures of conference tournaments, right now, if you look at the WAC, you can get UT Arlington plus 600. Shout out to the Mavs. Those are my guys. Sean Stout, my guys. So they're making some noise there. They might be upset city. I know Grand Canyon, we want them to dance for the Cinderella candidates, but UT Arlington is a team to watch out for. So maybe worth taking a swing there, plus 600. That's $200 to use on point spreads, money lines. You can even pick who's going to win it all. And the wait is over in North Carolina. FanDuel is officially live in the Tar Heel State. Just visit FanDuel.com/OSP and bet on college hoops until they cut down the nets. Must be 21 or older and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit TheRinger.com/RG. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
There you have it. Kevin Connors. He's the best. We love to see him at the Big 12 tournament, and we love to have him on the show. I had a lot of people reach out to me that were wondering what he thought about these mid-major teams. So shout out to the people that are real OSP friends of the program that are tuned in and want to hear about that. We tried to riff through as much as we could. He had to get to work because conference tournaments are happening. Connor Nevins, our editor, reached out to me and said, make sure, you know, people are coming into college basketball. Make sure they know what's going on. So I'm going to put it on siren alert, siren emojis. It is conference tournament season. Some of the best games that you will see. And last night in Madison Square Garden, we had an epic finish that wasn't, but could have been, in case you missed it, Marquette Villanova, Midnight Madness and MSG. Cam Jones had a layup that looked like a game winner. Great sidelines out of bounds play. And put up a layup, and they go and review it. It kind of looked like a tie goes to the runner situation, but they decide to wave it off. Kyle Neptune celebrates because he gets a second chance. They go to overtime. Marquette handles business, and the rest is history. Cam Jones, after the game, said, damn, I was going to tell my nephew I hit a game winner in the Garden. Chaka Smart, his head coach, said, there's still tomorrow. I like that little moment. It could have been an all-time Big East tournament moment. And I think in retrospect, if we knew that Villanova was just going to come out there and just lose the game anyway, maybe we just have Cam Jones have this moment because it was an epic game winner. The Big East tournament delivers. We got John Fanta and Red Panda on the court putting on a show. I mean, it is good stuff. Rick Pitino stalking the sidelines. St. John's gets a win. Kyle, I know you're there and I know you're excited. How do we feel about the Johnnies? Are they a lock? Do we have them in the tournament at this point?
I said it once yesterday to our buddy Troy. I said, I think they punched their ticket yesterday. And I think that was really stupid of me. You know, act like you've been there before, dude. Yeah, I'm not going to say I'm not a little sick to my stomach today. It's 2 o'clock right now. It's 10. So I've got a couple more hours of a weak stomach. But crazier things have happened. Sometimes life is stranger than fiction. And I'll be rooting for the Johnnies today, too. But I do think they made it.
I will say this, Rick Pitino should be in the tournament. And if the committee knows about, ratings and characters.
Yeah, if you have any brains at all.
Yeah, put him in the tournament. I mean, if it's between Robbie Avila and Rick Pitino, I don't want to be, regressive here and side with the coaches, but I'm going to have to side with Rick Pitino. We need to see him in March. And Robbie Avila, have him on CBS. Have him make a bracket. You know what I mean?
Do a pop in.
Hey, Sister Jean also, by the way, she lost, so she's not going to be in March Madness. Maybe we get Avila and Sister Jean. Maybe they team up. They do a podcast. Avila and Jean. You know what I mean? We'll figure out something. But regardless, we need Rick Pitino in the tournament.
Jean and Cream. There he goes. Jean 97.2 in the mornings.
That's why he's our great producer, Kyle. We love to see that. He was locked in and ready for the answer. But yeah, we can still use these characters. They don't have to be in the tournament. Rick Pitino belongs in the tournament. And if you're a Connecticut basketball player, coach, anybody on the support staff, if you got a pizza delivered to you after midnight last night, do not eat that pizza because Rick Pitino is trying to pull out some old Big East tricks. He's trying to get some guys sick because he knows he needs to get a win against this Connecticut team. But they're a buzzsaw. We know what it is, but people forget this. Rick Pitino led at halftime in both games against Connecticut. First half winner. He said that he was wearing his guys out by pressing. He's not pressing as much. It's more of a soft press, and then they pick their spots so they have better legs late in the game. RJ Lewis playing some better basketball. Our guy Jordan Dingle playing some better basketball. So I'm hoping if St. John's keeps it close against Connecticut, the committee should lean the way of putting him in the tournament. You know what I mean? Like if they lead at halftime, they should be in the tournament. So that's where I stand officially. Rick Pitino, you have our support here at One Shining Podcast, so we love to see that. We got some big picture notes. That was one of them. Marquette Villanova, great game. Kyle Neptune, the seat is getting hotter. I feel bad for him. I think Kyle Neptune's a great guy. And that is why he's probably going to end up being a good guy that we talk about at some point, because when you are a great guy, they start coming from you. They start threatening, you know, NIL funds. This was a team that was 6-1, folks, by the way. It beat North Carolina, beat Texas Tech, two tournament teams. So they had a resume building before it went, you know, awry, 13-15 down the stretch. So not great stuff for Villanova. And shout out to all my Villanova people out there that I am friends with and support. And a lot of people would think that I wouldn't like Villanova because of 2016, but I support the Wildcats. I hope they figure it out. They're a great basketball program, and hopefully Kyle Neptune figures it out. So there we go. In case you're wondering about some big picture stats, here's one for you. Since the tournament expanded in 1985, no national champion failed to make it to at least the semifinals of its conference tournament. So if you want to look right now at all the teams that are playing in their semifinals of the conference tournament, Colorado, Wazoo, Arizona, Oregon, San Diego State, Utah State, Providence, Marquette, Pitt, UNC, Houston, Texas Tech, St. John's, UConn, Colorado State, New Mexico, NC State, Virginia, Baylor, and Iowa State. So if you're trying to pick who's going to win the national championship, those are some teams to consider based on that stat. So there's a little note for you. I also want to shout out the seven-year rule. Thad Matta said once upon a time that once you hit 7 years, they decide if they want you for seven more or if it's the end of the road. No matter really where you stand, and we saw the seven-year rule kick in for Mike Hopkins at Washington. He gets fired. Great press conference where he kind of, you know, he was on the verge of tears and he gets into tears. And, you know, Doug Gottliebs of the world are all saying, what a good guy. He's one of the best of us. And Mike Hopkins is really a really good guy, former assistant for Jim Boeheim. Mike Boynton, Oklahoma State, he talked about the changing dynamics of recruiting, compared recruiting Cade Cunningham to the NIL era. He's like, I went to this kid's game in seventh grade and forged a bond with his family and built up all this rapport. Now I'd have to go there with the checkbook and say, how much? That is the world that we live in. Yeah, it seems a lot easier. It seems straight to the point.
Time savers. But,
Nick Saban is not happy about it. And Mike Boynton is out of Oklahoma State. That's going to be a fascinating job. Oklahoma State has gone in the family. They've gone outside the family. Shout out to Eddie Sutton, a legend there. Jared Haas is another guy at Stanford. He was there for 8 years, so the seven-year rule doesn't quite go one-to-one, but it's the same kind of idea. Stanford, a team that had some talent. Stojanovic is there. We talked about him a little bit, but things go badly. It is over, and Jared Haas is out of Stanford. I mentioned Mitch Henderson. I think that is a name that's going to get thrown out for that job. So the seven-year rule strikes again. We hate to see it. All those coaches are good guys. Next, I'm watching PTI yesterday, and the first cry on, the first topic is the era of blue bloods over.
Jay Williams is on my list, or Jay Wright just declared it over.
Yeah, you had it on your list of headlines that you sent over. Jay Wright said this. He basically said with NIL, blue bloods are done. There's too much turnover every single year. There's not enough money to sustain a program. It's going to have fluctuation. I can see the point, and I think Jay Wright makes great points, and he said this on CBS, so I'm not going to say he's wrong, but right now, I think UConn is wearing the cape of a blue blood. I would consider them a new blood. Their first title was in 1999, but they get upset about this, so let's just say they're a blue blood. They won last year. Kansas won in 2022. Baylor is a new blood, but playing at the blue blood level in the game of the blue bloods. You go down the list, Kansas probably would have won in 2020. 2019 is Virginia, new blood. I mean, I think we're okay. I think the top programs are going to be okay. And I know it's changing a little bit. And obviously, there was the Wild Wild West to deal with. But I don't think it's over. I think the Blue Bloods will be in the game.
And you definitely get more credit for saying it now than if it's like really in your face in the next couple of years. You can be like, hey, do you remember 2024? I said it. So like, yeah, you know, maybe you are getting out in front of it here, especially if you can tell which way the wind's blowing a little bit.
Yeah, shout out to Jay Wright. We love when we need people like Jay Wright, the coaches that actually coached in this game, to step out and make their opinions. Greg Sankey, not one of those coaches. He is the commissioner of the SEC, and he wants tournament expansion. This was a big note that came out. He said that the best teams are not playing. He wants to get rid of the automatic qualifiers. He wants the little guys to go home. He said no more Cinderellas, no more stories of the little guy. You know, no more David versus Goliath. He's done with this. He only wants the big players in town. And, you know, there was only one man that could shut this down. And it, of course, is Mr. K. Coach K, the artist formerly known as Coach K, goes on Dan Patrick and says he does not want to expand the tournament. It is perfect as it is. And Coach K, fighting the good fight. I mean, I never thought that I would be saddled up on the right side of history with Coach K, but I'm proud to see it. I'm happy to see it.
He's got time on his hands.
Men. Yeah, we're great. Bigger men at this point. Some people were upset with me about being nice to Kyle Filipowski. sometimes you got to rest on your laurels and be a bigger guy. You know what I mean? So I'm happy that we're at this situation. And in case you missed it, anyone that went on my show would lose the next game last year during the tournament. Kyle Filipowski, we got you again. He loses to NC State. So say what you will, but things work out as they're supposed to. But again, Coach K, shout out to you fighting the good fight against Greg Sankey. We love to see that. The transfer portal, talking about the new era, it starts on Monday, March 18th, and we have the portal going for 45 days. It's not just Selection Sunday. It's not just March Madness. It is portal chaos. So the teams that are done for their season, they will be digging into the portal and trying to figure out their future. So not only do we get tournament and game results, we get portal results. Eric Musselman is going to be on fire during March. If you think this man's going to shy away from the headlines, you're crazy. So we'll see what happens with that. Also, DJ Horn, a great horn at the horn call last night at halftime. NC State wins that game. They're talking about 1983. They're talking about Jim Valvano. They're just in the semifinals of the ACC tournament, Kyle, but they're already seeing the vision. Terry Gannon, Julius Hodge, all these NC State characters are coming out of the woodwork. We love to see it. I love when Tobacco Road is having fun again. And your guy, Kyle's guy, DJ Burns. If we don't get Robbie Avila, maybe we get DJ Burns on an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. And I think that would be a nice, situation and a nice setup for us to have some fun during March Madness.
NC State, they'll get you. Yeah, NC State, they'll get you. That's my motto. They'll get you.
They'll get you. And in case you forgot, I mean, NC State back in 2015, they beat Villanova in the NCAA tournament in the second round. And, that was a moment in time. I just wanted to point that out. And Julius Hodge beat UConn back in the day and said, I told y'all. Great moment as well. Defending champs when he did that. So, I mean, NC State's had some moments. They're going to have Kevin Keats a little bit longer. I think he was entering into the 7-year rule, but it seems like he saved his job. So Kevin Keats, he is a winner. Yeah. Congratulations. He is a winner. We love to see that. Let's talk about some of these other firings. Jerry Stackhouse had a great moment. He basically was talking about his Vanderbilt job. He said they treated him just like he was an NBA guy. They didn't get to know him. They don't know why he wears suits. It was a great soliloquy and a great moment. And it reminded me that Jerry Stackhouse, not only is he a good basketball coach, but he needs to go back to the NBA. And Vanderbilt didn't get it. It sounds like Vanderbilt is trying to hire Chris Mack or someone of that ilk. So they had already had a plan to move on from Jerry Stackhouse. But I enjoyed Stackhouse's time there. Scottie Pippen Jr. was there. That was fun.
Maybe he needs to do time at like a place like CSUN, our boys, you know? Maybe he needs to do something like that. Just a little less profile, but just, you still get all the good coaching stuff.
Just go to the Hornets and be an assistant. You know what I mean? And
then, never mind. Kate's got a plan. Sorry.
Eventually, you're going to be the interim coach when our head coach gets fired. And then, you know what I mean? Who knows? See where the chips may fall. This man won a G League championship, by the way, coaching the Raptors. So we don't want to disparage Jerry Stackhouse as a coach. Want to shout out some of the automatic qualifiers. Samford is their first tournament appearance since 2000. I'm calling them the Furman of this year. It's official. Stamp it in. So Samford is a team to watch out for. Chore I mentioned with Kevin Connors. The Horizon League, Oakland, they win that one. Their first tournament appearance since 2011. NEC, we got Wagner, first tournament appearance since 2003. A lot of like first timers in a while. So this is good for the tournament. Going to be fun for storylines. CAA, we got Pat Kelsey's kid. He is going to be in March Madness. He will be a character that counts. And second straight tournament for Charleston. WCC, St. Mary's, third straight tournament for them. Summit, South Dakota State, seventh appearance all time. First since 2022. Not that long ago for the Jackrabbits. Southland, we got McNeese State, first since 2002. Shout out to our guy Will Wade, third appearance all time for McNeese State. So this is a big deal that Will Wade goes there in year one and gets them to the tournament. And if you're not watching Will Wade on the sideline, you should. This guy is on one. He is in a different stratosphere at this point. Patriot League, Colgate, fifth straight tournament appearance at, like I said earlier, Big Sky, Montana State, the Bobcats. They went 500 on the season, but they win the Big Sky tournament. They beat Montana, third straight tournament appearance for the Bobcats. So we love to see that. It is going to be very fascinating what happens. Speaking of fascinating things, let's do some shout outs. Shout out to Chris Holtman. Chris Holtman is going to be the head coach.
Welcome.
Of yeah. Welcome to the good fight.
We're having a great time over here, guys.
The Big East coaches, by the way, it's an incredible list. I mean, you got Sean Miller, Chris Holtman, Dan Hurley, Rick Pitino, Shaka Smart, Kim English, Ed Cooley, Shaheen Holloway, Greg McDermott, Kyle Neptune, Thad Matta.
Come on. That's
a good list. I mean, if Sean Miller doesn't go to Ohio State, which, I mean, it seems like by the day, it's not as sure of a thing as we thought at first, even though you know, Goodman and some of these people try to put it out there, it's going to happen. I don't know if it is Dusty Mays in the conversation, but if he stays at Xavier, that's a great list of coaches. We'd love to see that. Lamont Paris, another coach, shout out to him. He got a contract extension. Greg McDermott did as well. These are the coaches that would have been in the conversation. They would have been reached out to, but instead they're going to get paid. And we love when coaches get paid.
Lamont Paris, shout out to him. Can I ask you quick about Chris's deal? Is 6 years a lot for a job like that? Or do you think that's what they need to get anybody that's has any name recognition at DePaul?
Yeah, I mean, DePaul apparently has millions of dollars in NIL that they're willing to cough up. Mark McGuire is invested. Chris Holtman is a good basketball coach. And I think Chris Holtman actually understands the Big East culture more than the Big Ten culture. And let's be, I mean, I learned this at the Maui Invitational. Like, Ohio State is a football school through and through. Like, when we went to the Maui Invitational, they had no fans there other than Chris Holtman's family. You know what I mean? Like, Louisville had Kenny Payne, and they had more fans there than Ohio State at the Maui Invitational. So, like, if he goes to DePaul, he doesn't have to keep the Chicago recruits. He's just got to use NIL and find good players. And
so we could be excited for DePaul.
We can be excited because guess what, Kyle? They won zero conference games this year. If he wins one conference game next year, they should give him coach of the year. That is what he, that the bar is so low. We don't even know where the bar is at DePaul right now. So Chris Holtman, he can raise the level. He can get him back to a respectable program. People forget, this is a program that hired Dave Lato twice. So they have seen the bottom. They are trying to scrape out of, you know, this is crabs in a barrel situation. They're trying to get to the top, and I think they can figure it out. So shout out to Chris Holtman. We're pulling for you. Shout out to Eric Musselman. I mentioned him before with the transfer portal. This is the first time in his career that he has finished below 500. He got teed up in the South Carolina game because I think he realized that. So the must bus, if you were riding the must bus, apologies for this season. I had some Arkansas fan, Kyle, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I had an Arkansas fan reach out to me, tag me and say, I cursed Arkansas this year. Did I say Arkansas was going to be good? Do you remember this? Maybe I did. I mean, I think everybody thought they might be good because they were 14 in the country preseason, but I don't know. They've tried to get me to fall on the sword. I will, because I don't care either way, but I'm just confused. Do you remember this? Did I saddle up for the
I feel like maybe you did it by saying, like, you know, he can't believe we said this, but he maybe had too many guys last year, and I think this year he's going to be able to retool. I mean, I don't know. You just, maybe you were positive about it. I don't think you, you know, placed any bets. I don't know.
I don't know, but all I want to say is I'm sorry to that Arkansas fan. I'm sorry to all the Must Bus believers, and we will ride next year. The Must Bus will be back. Lombardi promised me that Must will figure it out, and he will do that in the transfer portal. So let's see what happens. Another guy that's got to figure it out, Penny Hardaway. Not good for the Memphis Tigers. They got up to number 10 in the country back in January, and they just completely fallen apart. They lose to Wichita State. Penny Hardaway, after the game, was asked about the Tigers accepting an NIT bid. He said, quote, zero. I'm not accepting any invitations. I'm not looking to play in any more NITs, man. I'm sorry. Shots fired at the NIT. Shout out to NIT Stu and all the NIT stands out there. This is a tough time of year when coaches say things like this. I think Memphis should play in the NIT. Penny Hardaway says no. So we'll see what happens with that. Shout out to Stephen F. Austin, the Lumberjacks, the buzzer beater over Abilene Christian. That happened a couple days ago. I just wanted to shout that out. That was a great buzzer beater, and we love to see that. Now, you got some headlines, Kyle, with some more juicy stuff. Let's run through those headlines, and then we can get out of here and get geared up for conference championships.
I do want to do one shout out. Marist is now in the semifinals for the Metro Atlantic. And they start the last, I was checking in on them yesterday. At halftime, they were down like 14. They came back and won. I'm very proud of these boys. They are playing Fairfield in the semis. And then it'll be St. Peter's and Quinnipiac, who apparently Quinnipiac is like on fire this season. I did not know. Shout out to Cerruti. Quinnipiac Steve was his first nickname among many. So I don't know. I'll believe. And it'd be cool if the Red Foxes made the tournament too. Could you imagine?
Shout out to New York basketball. Yeah, we're Rick Smith's guys. We're Red Foxes through
and through. I guess we're Sean Stilato guys, too.
Yeah, Sean Stilato. This man has found every way to wedge himself into every conversation. And if he sees a camera, he gets right in front of it. I mean, and he apparently played wide receiver at Marist. So he is a Red Fox himself.
He was at the game. He was at the semis or the quarterfinals game. So great, buddy. I hope to run into you at Mahoney's one day while you're just visiting your old haunts.
I love Marist. We'd love to see it.
Okay, so shout out to them. We'll be watching them closely. Let's see. What do we got? I got a Bruce Pearl character count sort of update because I think we'll be doing characters in the tournament soon. So this was, I just want to read you a quote. The headline is Bruce Pearl praises Jalen Williams for sticking it out and his loyalty to Auburn. Fifth year guy, graduate senior, all time winningest player in the history of Auburn basketball, graduate of the university, and finally an all SEC player. We don't see enough of those kind of role models. Guys that stick it out. Guys that are great toward the end of their career. Maybe you look at a player like Jalen Williams and say, maybe the grass isn't always greener on the other side. He was loyal to Auburn, and Auburn was loyal to him. And look at him now.
Character nice. Counts.
Character I mean, counts.
That's really what it comes down to. And I love that Bruce Pearl is the man who is telling us about character and explaining yes. it to us and showing it to us.
Was that a plea to all his other guys too?
That was a subliminal tweet from LeBron in real life right there at all of his other players that are trying to figure out their NIL deals. So we love to see that. Great stuff there. And honestly, he's not wrong. I mean, a unicorn in today's time based on that whole breakdown. And like you said, graduated from Auburn. So shout out to Jalen Williams. So there you go. We'd love to see it.
Okay. And we've got, did you see this? I don't know how I missed this. I've watched Providence. This kid, you know about this? And he wasn't on our ticket or our list either of names. Ticket Gaines. Are you aware of this young Gaines. Man?
Yeah.
Ticket
he was he was honorable mention, but
he was. Well, yeah, he just signed a deal with StubHub ahead of the tournament. And I mean, come on, that's perfect. I think if you are going to if you're going to push your kid to be an athlete, D1 athlete especially, I think you can maybe do maybe there's a way to name your kid something that rhymes with Amazon or something. Like, think about what's going on, like who's at the top of the at the food chain and the stock market and stuff like that. And if you're planning on having your kid go that way and you're like, we're getting this boy a scholarship, I think you just, like, you know, maybe name him Amazon, or maybe that's his middle name or something like that. Because I don't think Ticket Gaines is like lighting the world on fire, but I think because StubHub was like, all right, it's tournament time, eyes are on us, who can we give this money to get on the airwaves? Ticket Gaines is perfect.
Is perfect. And
I'm glad they found each other.
Yeah, they made it perfectly. Now the next question is, who's going to saddle up and figure out Jizzle James? You know what I mean? Like, who's going to Hooters?
Trojan.
Who's going to figure this out? So, that's great. We love NIL deals. It does feel like the NIL deals are still going to the coaches. Like, if you watch the commercials, you know what I mean? Like, it's still John Calipari doing Invesco QQQ or whatever. Like, it's still the coaches that are getting it. Jay Wright, all the coaches are still getting the deals, but hopefully we get to the point where the players are involved. So there you go. I like that. Ticket Gaines making things happen.
I only have one more, and that's because you hit a couple of my other ones, which, you know, no shade, whatever. this one is just, it's just kind of funny to me. It's interesting, you know, when you type in college basketball news, it's a little bit clogged with all the things, will they, won't they? This is, the headline is Latter-day Saints to watch during the NCAA's basketball's March Madness. It's basically a Mormon tracker from Church News. And it's really impressive what they do. I guess you could imagine there's a whole starting five at Brigham Young. But I mean, there's Michigan State, Mississippi State, UC Irvine, Texas, Utah, Utah State, no surprise, Utah Valley, no surprise. But I love the Mormon tracker. I think that's great. And they're proud of their own.
I like it too. Yeah. Find our guys.
If you're interested, go to churchnews.com.
Yeah, churchnews.com. I love when Kyle's Googles lead to things like this. This is what we want. I got a couple more shout outs quickly. The A-10 tournament, St. Joe's, VCU, St. Bonaventure's, Duquesne. That is the final four. So Richmond is out, the number one seed. UMass is out. Pour one out for Frank Martin. Sister Jean is out, like I said earlier. And Dayton, the Flyers will be in at-large. So we get a two-bid A-10 this season. So we will have Dayton in the tournament, and we will have whoever wins that gauntlet of games that we have ahead. Dan Orlovsky tweeted this. He's a Connecticut guy. This is after the Duke loss. He said, is Flag sure he wants to go to Duke? And Duke fans are just absolutely, I mean, the battle between Duke right now and UConn is at an all-time high. They're going at each other's necks, and it has been very entertaining to watch this.
They seem like mortal enemies. That should be perfect.
Yeah, it's the Spider-Man meme. It's same but different, and they are not happy about it. I did want to shout out Dan Hurley, Quincy Oliveri, going out of the game in the Xavier game. He, like, tracks him down to give him, like, dap of respect. It was a great, like, player-coach moment, and I was like, Dan Hurley, playing like, I mean, that was the most like playing us all like a fiddle moment I've ever seen. And
like
I love
the airplane guy. I want to shake your hand. I'd be like, get away from me, man.
Literally, it was great. It was
why is he walking
moment.
Towards me?
Yeah, when I saw him chasing down Oliveri, I was like, this can't be good. And it turned out to be a great, beautiful moment. And you got Calhoun in the Big East tournament. So it's all good stuff. Calhoun's in the building. Patino's
talking
in the building.
With Rick. Did you see that? They had a nice interview. It was like, they said some 20 years since they've like had a real conversation like that. It was very nice.
Yeah, it was like Patino, by the way, talk about class. Like this guy sits down and is like, I'm just so honored to be looking at this man right here. Right. You know what I mean? Had a lot of tough battles in our career. And it like basically hijacked the whole interview to like praise each other. And then Calhoun like kind of did it half-heartedly back. He was like, this is a little bit tough for me, but I do have respect for you as well. It was so old Big East. It warmed my heart. So it's conference tournament season. A lot of great games. Like I said, the teams that are in the semifinals, they're going to go win the national championship. So you're watching a preview right now of the tournament and what's going to be ahead. So it's good stuff. Pulling for Wazoo. That is my pick. Sal put in a bet for me, $100 plus 700 for the Cougs to win the Pac-12 nice. Tournament. So if they do that, I am $700 richer and I would be very happy about that. Speaking of Cousin Sal, you and I officially will be in Vegas Thursday and Friday next week with Harry, Sal, Brother Bride, Darren, Jack, our producer.
Is Ken going to be around? I don't know. Is that
Ken?
Do you know?
Let's be honest. Ken will be around. I'm not sure if it's confirmed, but Ken will be around. He will find a way. So we're going to have fun. We're going to be at Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club. We're going to be watching games. Selection Sunday, little housekeeping here. Selection Sunday, we will watch Selection Sunday. We will do a podcast with Kyle Mann reacting afterwards. On Tuesday, we will have Terrence Oglesby come on the show. We're going to do top 25 characters in the tournament. We might even have a Van Lathan appearance. We're trying to pin him down. Yeah, we're trying to pin him down as best we can. I didn't know what word to use to describe that. I mean, Van's always down, but you just have to catch him in that moment. And I didn't have a microphone last time I saw him. So next time I will have two microphones ready and plugged in, and we will record with him, hopefully before Tuesday. So again, One Shining Podcast, best time of the year, college basketball. Everybody tune in. Everybody have fun. Pull for your teams. There's still hope out there for some of the little guys to get in the tournament. We're going to put out our Cinderella candidates. I got 25 for you to watch out for. So it's going to be fun. And again, appreciate everybody tuning in, and we will see you on Sunday night. Thanks again to our friends at FanDuel. Must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, North Carolina, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Vermont, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 533-42 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.